Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'll be here until midnight on the radio with you. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. You already got one caller lined up who we'll be getting to here shortly, but just want to let you know you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can not only find out more about me and the program, but you can also listen to past programs there. I like to point out that if you're not able to hear the first hour, we're actually on Sunday nights from 10 o'clock until midnight, 2 hours. If you're in an area where you don't hear the first hour, you can find it at livewithpastoral.com. And also, we have a half-hour program every Friday afternoon at 1:30, 1:30 to 2 o'clock, and that's also available there at livewithpastoral.com. So you can check that out there. Got a number of things there. Here in Ohio, we have a major thing going on with a special election, August 8th, Ohio Issue 1, which will affect how we amend the Ohio State Constitution. I've got some information on that, but it's not just that. We've been talking about that a lot here in Ohio, but I also have some other things there. Article on the smoke of their judgment, looking at the smoke that's going out. And by the way, the smoke was out there kind of heavy again here today. If you go to, what is it? It's airnow.gov, I believe it is. And actually, I'm going to look that up right now, and I'm going to see what our air quality is, because it was smoky when I came home. No wonder it was smoky when I came out of church. In Richfield, Ohio, right now, we're sitting at 168 in the unhealthy range. Unhealthy range runs from 150 to 200. Next one up is the very unhealthy. And when my family and I were in Washington, D.C. at the beginning of June, we were there on that Thursday when Biden was supposed to welcome the largest ever LGBTQ party that the White House had ever seen, and the smoke was up above 300 and into, I forget what they call that. They don't list it on here what it's called. They just show the dark color there. Yeah, it's unhealthy now. Next step up is very unhealthy. I guess the third one is stay inside, you're going to die range when it's above 300. And it was above 300, so they pushed it off for a few days to that following Saturday. And my family and I, we were wandering around Washington, D.C., going through the smoke. It smelled like you're outside of somebody's campfire. And had a friend of mine who lives in Canada said, you know, all you Americans, if you hang out some meat or something like that, you can get to experience some genuine Canadian birch smoked meat by the smoke coming down. A lot of birch trees where it's burning. And but unhealthy today. I don't know where it's at, where you're at, but here in northeastern Ohio, we're in that unhealthy range again. Came out of church, I could see the haze, just the trees off in the distance. They just fogged over. The other night, it was a little bit of a haze, but it was because of humidity. We had been down in the healthy range and below 50 even. Yeah, several people complaining about it. If you're in an area where it's getting in that range, you know, just take precautions. I know people that got asthma and things like that, that this really is hard for them sometimes. You know, it's hard to breathe. And one friend of mine said that he woke up, this would be a couple of weeks ago when it was in this range. He said he woke up and he said it was like somebody was sitting on his chest. And so certainly our prayers go out for those people that have breathing issues when the smoke gets this, you know, drifts this bad, the air gets this unhealthy. But as I said, if you are able to stay tuned with us tonight, we're going till midnight. You can give us a call. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we will take your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We had Mary Grace, who's been waiting patiently for us since the last hour. We were kind of busy with the number of things, and she's patiently waited for us. So, Mary Grace, welcome to the program tonight.
Yes, a lot of marvelous things you were talking about.
Well, it's been a lot to talk about. Busy night, huh?
Oh, yes, I love it. Lots of information.
So.
And mine is always around the children. I love the children. And the point is, with the children going to camp, people need to know where they're sending their children.
Oh, absolutely.
You have to know what they're teaching him. God help us. But Charlie Kirk was bringing that up, and that really got to me.
Mm-hmm.
But another thing is also the Khazarians. Are you familiar with them?
With what?
The Khazarians.
Khazarians.
Okay. They're Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're from the Edomites.
Okay.
Do you know anything? They're Eurasian.
Well, Edom, yeah, Edom was an area in, or no, Edom is the area around Sinai Peninsula. I was almost confused with Elam for a minute. But, and a number of the Jewish people in the various invasions and such where they were taken out of the land migrated different parts of the world, some up into Central Asia and then over into Europe. Okay, go ahead with them.
But the Eurasians, do you know anything about them? Because I think they're not good people.
Well, you know, it depends on which group you're talking about, because, you know, I've got British ancestry, which would make me Eurasian. So, Europe.
Oh, Edomites.
Yeah. Yeah. We specify the Edomites. And the Edomites, actually, if you look at it, they were the descendants of Esau. Now, some of them weren't so bad. Job, remember the book of Job in the Bible? Job was actually a descendant of both Esau and Ishmael. And he turned out pretty good. Remember Esau was said to be a wild man, meaning his descendants would be. And so Israel had a lot of trouble with the Edomites in their history, and God actually brought judgment on Edom, because when Babylon laid siege to Jerusalem, the Edomites, rather than rallying to the aid, or at least not taking advantage of their cousins, the Jewish people, they actually celebrated and were hoping Babylon would destroy them so they could come into the spoils, and God rebuked them soundly for that.
That's, so. I pray, because you have to know, and I'm a guess on, you know, the one issue.
Oh, in Ohio, yes, issue one in Ohio.
No,
on August 8th.
November.
And for our listeners outside of Ohio, Ohio has two constitutional amendment issues coming up. November is one that affects how we change the Constitution, and then, I'm sorry, that's August. And then in November, we have one that's a radical abortion amendment that essentially would turn Ohio from a pro-life state to one of the most radical pro-death states in the nation overnight. It would remove parental control completely. It would remove state control completely. And it would make everything surrounding abortion, and also, if you read it correctly, it also implies transgender surgeries, because it would be considered reproductive health. Only persons that would have a say would be the individual woman and her doctor. The doctor could be somebody she met 5 minutes ago, and the woman could be a 5-year-old that's a tomboy, and the doctor, because the counselor said, oh, she's really a boy, and the doctor convinces the girl that she's really a boy and that she needs this. No parental influence, no state control. Same with abortion. A minor child, a 14-year-old girl can come in for an abortion. No parental notification or influence of any kind. No state control. Robert Sprague, the Ohio state treasurer, I heard him recently, a couple weeks ago, say that literally in Ohio, you could have a pizza parlor in the front of a building and an abortion clinic in the back of the building, and the pizza parlor would have more regulation than the abortion clinic. Now, the reason this should be of interest to people outside of Ohio is the pro-death community is looking at Ohio and singling out Ohio as a test case. If they can alter the Ohio Constitution and push this radical abortion agenda on the state of Ohio, and a lot of the money that's pushing this is from billionaires and Hollywood elites outside of Ohio, and if they can do it here, they'll be coming for Iowa, they'll be coming for Kentucky, they'll be coming for you name it, they'll be coming for it.
We can't do this.
So that's why people need to pray. If you're outside of Ohio, pray for us here. This abortion issue, radical abortion issue in November must be defeated. And this is also the reason that I have been so adamant in promoting issue one in August, our August special election, because issue one, if passed, will raise the bar to pass a constitutional amendment in Ohio from 50% of the vote plus one to 60% of the vote. And
more election workers. Because I just got done with the class. God help us.
Yeah, so, and it's, like I said, it's not just Ohio. If they can do it here, they're going to be coming for your state next. Ohio's a test bed right now. A lot of focus from outside of Ohio is here right now. In fact, I was talking to somebody just recently, and they said they had somebody who was pushing the signatures for the ballot issue for the abortion amendment, and they were talking to the person. The person said, well, I'm from Michigan. They just hired me and brought me down here to get signatures. I get so much for each signature I get.
That's right. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus.
So
we need God. Oh Lord, we need an intervention.
Yeah. So well,
God bless America.
Yeah.
But it's gonna be easy, and we need election workers.
Exactly.
And we need more, like 2,000 more.
And I don't know what the status is in other states. I'm an election worker here in Ohio. And let me encourage you, if you're listening, if you don't know where to go to get involved in your state's election process, I'm sure if you're a Republican, contact the Republican Party in your county or parish, and I'm sure they can put you in touch. Or you can contact the state Secretary of State's office or whatever the equivalent of is in your state, and they can put you in touch. Or you might be able to find a listing online for the Board of Elections or some similar title in your state, and get in touch with your local Board of Elections. Here in Ohio, you can go through the Secretary of State's office or just look for the Board of Elections in your county. And they're all looking for people. We need people to be there. I'm thankful where I serve as an election official, we have to import Democrats from Akron to balance out the Republicans on our, because you're supposed to be bipartisan, same number of Democrats and Republicans in the polling place. We have to import Democrats from Akron to even us out. Unfortunately, I'm sitting here in Cuyahoga County right now, where the radio station is, the same county that Cleveland's in. Much of Cuyahoga County, they got to import Republicans. They have a shortage. I've heard of places where they can't muster enough Republicans to balance out the Democrats in the polling location, and that's a travesty. God's people should be involved in the election process because, hey, after all, you know, if you believe strongly and you want to see things done right, get involved. Get involved. Be salt and light. Don't just sit back and complain. Get involved in the election process. So. So
Ohio is the prayer shield of all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
I learned that many years ago in the Mission S group. You know, that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
We are the prayer shield, not just by shape, but for all the nations.
Yeah, and glad you said not just by shape. I was just thinking of that. You know, you look at the shape of Ohio. Ohio used to have a phrase, you know, or a slogan, the heart of it all, because it has a roughly heart shape to it. But it looks like a shield sort of shape.
Is.
And it
it's
is.
The prayer shield of the nation.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes on here that affects other parts of the nation. And like I said, there's a battle between the pro-life forces and the pro-death forces that are facing off over both issue one in August and the radical abortion amendment issue in November. And so if you're not in Ohio, pray for us here, and because it's coming to your state too. We said this last year when Roe v. Wade was defeated. People thought, well, that's it. Yeah, we've won. The battle's over. And unfortunately, a lot of people who used to donate, some big donors to the pro-life cause, said, I don't need to donate anymore. We won. Roe's gone. Well, we said on the radio when Roe was defeated, in the Dobbs decision, we said the real battle is just beginning. This is going to have to be fought on a state-by-state basis. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing this battle on a state-by-state basis. Some states have capitulated to the pro-death community. Some states have held the line. Ohio right now is a battleground state in every sense of the word, and the lives of unborn children is what's at stake. And so watch what happens in Ohio. If you're outside of Ohio, if you're in Ohio, get involved. Vote yes on issue one in August and vote no on the radical abortion issue in November. Make a difference. But Mary Grace, good to have you on with us here today. And but I do have somebody else that's waiting to get on, too, I need to get to. Any final thought there?
Yes, Mr. Pastor. I'm listening always.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. God bless you, and thanks for your call tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Cheryl calling in tonight. Cheryl, welcome to the program this evening.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Talk with you. It's probably the same issue that everybody else is talking about, but I've, you know, pulled together about, you know, the key elements, I think, about issue one, because there just seems to be a lot of confusion and people are mixing up the issue with, you know, what's going to come in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask you, and most of these points I've kind of pulled together what you've talked about for a while, and something that struck me today, and I wanted to check and see if it was correct, and because these kind of glaring statements I think are really helpful. What it appears to me, if I understand this correctly, is that the maintaining the 50% plus one position is consistent with having a government that's a democracy. And having the 60% position is consistent with having a republic, because in the republic, you know, all the areas are represented, just like, you know, the electoral college and such. And in a democracy, it's just 50%, which, of course, you know, they'll go to the places where they're the greatest population, which also are the bluest areas. So first, I wanted to ask you if that is a correct interpretation, because I think kind of putting that right out there in front of people have to at least have them acknowledge which type of government is consistent with the two views.
Well, and that is a good point, Cheryl, when we think about this. And good people often, you know, mess this up and refer to our democracy, protect our democracy. I remember after 9/11 and George W. Bush was in office and he said, we've got to protect our democracy. And then he got bogged down in wars in the Middle East saying, we're going to spread democracy. You know, the founding fathers really had a dim view of democracy. Democracy is essentially mob rule. I've said it many times. I keep saying because it's the easiest way to understand it. Democracy is essentially, what's that?
The wolves and the lamb.
Yes, two wolves and a lamb voting on what they have for dinner. That's what a democracy really is. And because the lamb is in the minority, the lamb has zero protection. But we are not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic. The founding fathers set us up that way on purpose. They were afraid of a democracy. They wanted a republic. And a republic offers protections to the minorities that you don't have in a democracy. A republic offers a respect for the law, especially a constitutional republic. And I find it interesting when you read in the Constitution in Article 4, the United States Constitution, Section 4, this is Article 4, Section 4, notice what it says here. Because the word democracy, to my knowledge, never appears in the United States Constitution. The United States Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, says, "The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government." Now, when it said a republican form of government, it wasn't talking about the Republican political party versus the Democrat political party. It was talking about a constitutional republic. And in a republican form of government, it's not everything determined by a simple majority. For instance, to change the United States Constitution, you need two-thirds of the Senate, two-thirds of the House, and three-fourths of the state legislatures. That's not a simple majority. That is a supermajority, which shows a consensus of the population, a consensus of the House, a consensus of the state, or the Senate, and a consensus of the states, meaning an overwhelming majority of people are for this. When you govern by just a democracy, a democratic form of government, all you need to do is have, like here in Ohio, you could amend the Constitution with 50.00001% of the vote. That's all you need. That's 50% plus one, based on one of our last gubernatorial rates of people who voted. And because they call it 50% plus one vote. And that's all you need. And Ohio is one of nine states that has a simple majority necessary to change a state constitution. The progressives in the early 1900s went through the Midwest primarily, and they convinced 20-some states to change from an amendment process that was similar to the United States Constitution, requiring a supermajority, consensus majority, to this simple majority. And most of the states quickly realized the folly that it was, and they overturned that, went back to the supermajority type thing. Ohio has been looking at doing this for a while, and this year everything came together, the perfect set of conditions to get a lot of energy behind this, and Lord willing, in August, we will change and go back to the supermajority. Not that 60% is a huge supermajority anyways. I'd like to see it be at least 66%, a two-thirds majority myself, but 60% is good. It's a good consensus of the people so that the state isn't roughly divided on one side or the other, but the general consensus of the people. But guaranteeing a republican form of government that the United States Constitution says, that the federal government guarantees. That's why when states became states, they had to submit their constitution to the Congress to be approved, to make sure there was a republican form of government, that they were setting up, again, in each state, a constitutional republic. And so Florida was set up as a constitutional republic. Iowa was set up as a constitutional republic. Kentucky, constitutional republic. Ohio, constitutional republic. And so as a constitutional republic, we're not run completely by simple majorities. Sometimes we need supermajorities. sometimes we have things that doesn't matter whether you have a majority or not, because the Constitution preempts certain things. And so we go by the Constitution and a code of law, and oftentimes by a supermajority, consensus majority, in order to assure that that not just a bare majority of people are for something, but the overwhelming number of the people. This is why a lot of the organizations that are actually fighting against Ohio upgrading and going back to the supermajority like most of the rest of the country and the federal government has, that's why most of the organizations that are fighting against it, saying that 60% is taking away the people's voice, it's taking away people's rights. A lot of those groups, like the Democrats here in the state of Ohio, need a 60% majority to modify their constitution. So it's hypocrisy. But at the same time, it does assure a more unified government with protection for minorities when you have a constitutional republic rather than a pure democracy. We may have gone a little afield on that from your original question, but it is something that needs to be known and understood. And as believers, we have greater rights under a constitutional republic than we ever would under a democracy. And if you think about it, you know, God's kingdom is not a democracy, is it? We can't vote and determine what we think the way of salvation ought to be. And if the majority of people think that it's this way, that's the way it's going to be. No, we have a constitution. It's called the Bible. And in a church, as a pastor, I'm called to instruct people on what our constitution, our Bible says salvation is. And people are to conform to the Bible, not make the Bible change to conform to them. And now, our Constitution in the United States, our Constitution in the various states, you can change if you have a supermajority, but there's no supermajority that's going to change the Bible, because the Bible is written by God himself, and he constitutes the supermajority, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And you know what? A couple of things that struck me as we were talking here, and one is... it's interesting. I know it's a whole nother question. I'm not asking for us to go into it. Is you know, the two parties chose Democrat and Republican, which is interesting. And Democrat meaning, you know, consistent with democracy, and Republican consistent with republic. Whether or not that means that, although it certainly it seems to be bearing out. Two people in our church, two very bright people in our church, have taken a map of Ohio. I think this is really effective. Other people might want to do this. And they have colored in the counties that would be represented if they did the 50-50 plus one. And an awful lot of the counties, it's a visual that you can see, have no representation. And yet then with the, it's like saying something in a lot of different ways, but saying the same thing.
Right.
But with the 60%, you know, all the counties would be colored in.
Well, I would add to what you're just saying there, just to kind of clarify, in Ohio right now, you only need 44 counties, which is half of Ohio's 88 counties, to sign a petition for a citizen-led, amendment process. The issue one that Ohio is going to decide on August 8th here, coming up, will require that petitions have to go to all 88 counties, which ensures the voice of rural Ohio. Cause I guarantee some of the least populated counties in Ohio did not see anybody coming with the petition for the radical abortion amendment that they want in November.
Because they get to choose the counties.
Yeah. Hey, we're coming up on a break here, Cheryl. Do you want to hold on or what? Okay, hold on. We've got a break, and we'll be right back. Got another half hour to go, so stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on your radio station. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening, and check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can listen to past programs there. You can listen to some of the programs that aren't available everywhere. We have a half-hour program every Friday at 1:30 to 2 o'clock. And then we have, of course, on Sunday nights, we're on from 10 o'clock until midnight. And so if you don't get to hear all of the programs, you can check us out live with PastorAl.com. There's also some other things, some articles and things that I write from time to time that are there, some other materials, some other observations on some things, and certainly a link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and there's a link to that you can find out about if you're ever up in northeastern Ohio. We're midway between Akron and Cleveland, right about where Interstate 77 and Interstate 271 cross, right about there. And so we'd love to have you visit sometime, but check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. All right, well, we get back to our conversation here. Again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673. We were talking with Cheryl before the break about what is going on here in Ohio and about the ramifications it has for the rest of the nation and where God's people ought to be on some of these issues as well. Cheryl, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. And I thank you, unless I'm taking somebody else's time, for having another question
or a
comment, because you just now made an extremely important analogy, and I think it's one that is not being stated, and that is it appears to me our country was founded so that the Constitution was analogous to the Bible. It was consistent with the Bible. And, I've heard it before, but this is yet just another way of seeing that, which means that you don't change, the truth. You know, it has
right.
to stay consistent with the Bible. But what I also want to emphasize, and you said this also, but a big emphasis is that, people say, well, the Bible hasn't kept up with culture. And my view is that if our country and families, whatever, had followed biblical principles, we wouldn't be in this mess of our culture. It's not that the Bible hasn't kept up. It's that the culture broke away.
Right.
And that was kind of another thing. And then that blends into what you've said a lot, which is, that the hierarchy of allegiance, and that the federal government is, you pay allegiance unless it contradicts the Declaration of Independence. And actually my thought is we keep maybe leaving out the Mayflower Compact, but also then the Word of God, being at the top. So, I think a big discussion is if this awful, bill did pass, how then shall we live with so much that contradicts the Bible? And that may be a rhetorical question. I mean, it's not like, we necessarily have to go into it in this little time, but it's, I think, an important thing to, to make a lot of thought and a lot of plans of how to behave in a culture that would accept such an awful bill. And I do think another key part of it, not only, representation, but just the whole thing of no parental permission. And then I've learned, as recently too, as you said, no lowest age level. And of course, the physician that whomever would contact is going to be somebody who's totally on board, anyway. So basically they're saying, the child can decide, and what I would say is the child can decide after they have been indoctrinated enough to think it's a good idea, and then finding a willing physician. And of course, it's amazing how many people now are regretting their decision, and particularly, of course, the ones who have had surgical intervention.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of want to really make the main points, because I think, one, a lot of people don't know about this. And two, I think form of government and good heavens, getting rid of parental permission, which is that alone, I think it seemed to me was the reason that Youngkin got elected in Virginia, which was a last minute comment,
mm-hmm.
By the two people. And one said parents should have no place. It's like, oh my goodness, he wasn't even, I don't know, what would you say, astute enough to lie. And Youngkin said, oh, no, they do, and boom, he won. So, I think we know where the country lies. It's just waking people up when they have not been very alert over many, many decades of all this stuff creeping in.
Well, and you brought up some good points there with what's happening, and God's people need to always be on guard and trying to make a difference. We're called to be salt and light in the world. And you had asked, what do we do if these kind of anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christian types of bills become the thing across our states, not just here in Ohio, but across the entire country, and what should we as Christians do in regards to the environment? And I think it's instrumental to read, in particular, the book of Acts in the New Testament and the Pauline epistles, because it was written at a time when the Roman government was in charge. Now, the Roman government had a lot of positive things about it, but it also had a lot of negative things about it. I remember hearing, this is quite some time ago, somebody was talking about children and the attitude towards children at the time that Paul would have been writing, at the time the book of Acts would have been taking place. And they had a letter that was supposedly from a Roman soldier sent to his wife who was expecting a child. And in the letter, the soldier instructed his wife that if the child was born and it was a boy, that they were to keep, she was to take care of it and raise it. But if it was a girl, or if it was born with some kind of deformity or health issues, she was to take it and leave it out in the shambles or something like that, just to let it either die or be taken in by whoever might take it in. And the callous regard to children that was accepted in the Roman government at that time, in the culture of the day in which Paul and the apostles were proclaiming the gospel, and some of the areas that they went into in parts of Asia and all, it was even worse. You know, they were still sacrificing children and things of that nature. And I would maintain, what really is the difference between sacrificing your child to Moloch in the Old Testament in order that you could have prosperity, and sacrificing your child in an abortion in the present day so that you can have prosperity? Yeah, it's the same spirit that motivates that, I think, personally,
right.
And it's demonic. But so when you read the book of Acts, you find, for instance, in Acts chapter 5, where Peter and some of the apostles, John and others, came in to conflict with the leaders of their day. In this case, it was the Jewish leaders who in Acts chapter 4, actually, before chapter 5, in Acts chapter 4, they had been arrested, and they were commanded in verse 18, it says, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now they're let go, they go out, and they continue preaching and proclaiming the gospel and telling people about Christ. They're arrested again. They're brought before the council again. And the Bible says that the high priest and the council members brought them before. And it says in Acts 5, verse 28, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Now, let me pause there and interject for a second. Remember, it was the high priest and the people that when Jesus was being crucified said what? His blood be upon us and our children. And now they're rebuking Peter and John and others for, as they said, you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, they had already taken care of that themselves. And then it says this in verse 29, and this is something that every Christian should take to heart. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And that's an important statement, isn't it?
Yes.
Because we want to be obedient to government, and this is where we get to that hierarchy of law, hierarchy of authority. When government lines up with the Bible, there's no problem. Christians would be model citizens. Any country would want their population to be Christian. They would want Christians in their population, because born-again Christians should be model citizens as long as the country's laws line up with the Bible. And we've been blessed in the United States because really much of what goes on in our Constitution and what goes on in our laws is based ultimately on the Scriptures. Because, for instance, I was telling our church, why is murder wrong? Some cultures you can defend murder and say that it should take place or whatever, but why is murder wrong in the United States of America? Well, we have a law. The law says murder is a criminal activity. But also, when you look at it, in addition to being a criminal activity, you know, the Constitution of the United States talks about life. The Declaration of Independence, a foundational document, talks about certain unalienable rights, and the first of which is listed is life. So life is very central to being protected. But why is it protected in the Constitution and recognized in the Declaration of Independence? Well, that's because we were under British common law prior to our government, because we inherited our laws from Britain, basically. And so why was British common law, why was murder unlawful? Well, because it goes back to the fact that British common law was based on the scriptures. It comes from the Bible. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. That's not talking about capital punishment. It's not talking about defensive killing. It's not talking about legitimate warfare. It's talking about murder, where you don't like somebody, and so you decide you're going to kill them. Or you want something that somebody has, property some kind of possession, or maybe even their spouse or their servants or something, and you kill them so that you can take what they have. And that's murder. And that is unlawful because the Bible said it's unlawful. And why does the Bible say that? Because God said, thou shalt not kill. And so our laws have been largely based on the Word of God, and so for much of our history, it's fairly easy for a Christian to live in the United States of America under our laws when they line up with the Bible. But what happens when, for instance, if Ohio was to adopt this radical abortion bill, that would call on abortion on demand up until the moment of birth, and nobody except for the woman and the doctor can be involved. What would happen if a nurse or somebody there saw this little child, a 12 or 13 year old girl being brought in for an abortion, and said, well, has anybody contacted her parents? And they said, we don't have to. The Ohio Constitution says the parents have no right. It's only the doctor and this girl. And this person said, that's just not right. I think I should contact their parents. And they were threatened with loss of their job. You know, what should you do in that case? Well, this is assuming this was in the Constitution. The Constitution says you can do it. No. God's law preempts the Constitution. If I were that person, I'd get a hold of the person's parents, the child's parents, because God put that child in the care of those parents, not in the care of the state. I don't care what Joe Biden says. I don't care what the counselors say. God put the child in the care of the parents, not the state. And so the parents should be notified. And just like Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men, there were times where God's people had to do just that. They had to disobey man's law because they had to remain obedient to God's law. Jesus has said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say with the exception of Jerusalem. He said beginning at Jerusalem.
Right.
And so they had to do what Jesus told them to do, rather than what the legitimate governing authority said. And the high priest and the Sanhedrin and all that, the council was a legitimate governing authority. And Romans chapter 13 talks about government authorities and says, it starts out in verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. And it goes on to talk about what rulers are supposed to do and how they're supposed to be ministers of God for righteousness, and they're supposed to carry out God's will and to be a revenger, to execute wrath upon them that do evil, and that we're to be in subject to them. But it's not, you know, a case where you're subject to them in every little thing. Because right. As we saw, mm-hmm. Peter and the apostles said we ought to obey God rather than men.
Right. And that's absolutely true. And then so a couple of other, you you talk about one thing and a million other things come up. And one is how people going through seminaries, you know, who really should know the Bible or want to go to, you know, seminaries and really nail it down, how they missed the point about pastors being involved in government.
Oh, absolutely.
They missed it, and they were able to be indoctrinated out of it. And but the other point, this is I was listening to something the other day, and the idea is that we have moved into a time when the kids rule rather than the parents,
mm-hmm.
something that you're seeing there. And somebody even was very interesting. She wrote a book about, you know, the ways that that kids rule. I mean, to, you know, like who decides where you go to dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Who decides this and that? And it's usually the kids. But that, you know, when you're looking at obey your father and mother, that's kind of going out the window. And but it's a setup that program, you know, it's a setup here to let the children rule. And, you know, it's just so incredibly dangerous. And even, you know, as we've mentioned many times, you need to be 16 for that and 13 for this and 18 for that and 21 for this. But no lower age limit for something that entirely removes another, a whole nother life, which is totally different from your body as the woman, and let somebody, well, really, all of it is Satan's trying to destroy God's creation. And
right.
He created, you know, unborn that he created them too. And so they're terminating that life. And God created, you know, men versus women, which we've talked about many, many times. And I have to say as a caveat, I hope that sometime you go through the explanation, because I think it's really critical, about the mitochondrial change or the mitochondrial tracking that tracks, you know, all women back to Eve and,
mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. Because I think it makes, it goes from XXXY to, you know, your physiology is different and it doesn't change and all that. It adds a whole nother level of proof, you know, that you really can't choose to change, you know, your gender. So
yeah,
so many things, you know, that come up. But the other one that you've mentioned, it, which I think is really good, as far as if we have to deal with this, you know, abortion and transgender thing, is it's a setup for what comes next.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that one works, then, you know, Second Amendment comes next, and, you know, next and next and next. And
right.
I just, the biggest thing is people have got to wake up, because I think, truly, I think the majority of people are clearly, all you have to say really is no parental permission. I mean, with almost anything, and you got, you know, by far the vote for, I was the majority of Ohio, and they picked, you know, a state, as you said, that was unlikely to go in the radical direction. But
right.
You know, why is it if everything is so great and it represents the people?
Yeah.
Everything in the world has to happen to, you know, limit it, censorship.
You know, yeah, I'm going to have to jump in here in a minute because we're quickly coming up on the end of the program. But let me just go off on something that you said there when you're talking about, you know, what they're doing in Ohio and extending to the rest. This idea of taking away parental rights, this ties in directly with what the left has said nationwide. You know, Joe Biden saying that children belong to the state. You know, and it goes all the way back to Hillary Clinton. It takes a village to raise a child. And she wasn't meaning that everybody should be, you know, many of us when we were growing up, your neighbors, if you did something wrong, were able to say, hey, that's wrong. And even if they didn't do something directly about it, they told your parents, you know, and I had advantage or what it was of going to school, my mom working in the school and having several relatives, uncles and different things and aunts and things that worked in the school. If I did something at school, there was no way my parents didn't know about it. So, you know, everybody was kind of involved, but it was my parents who had the final say in what happened. And we're losing that. The left wants to take that away. The devil wants to take that away. And there's several things, and I've got a couple of articles online at livewithpastoral.com. You can go there and link to it. And you'll see one attacking the image of God. And then in addition to that, one entitled Mental Dysphoria. And then along with that, pride goeth before destruction. And then my latest one, The Smoke of Their Judgment. And I think if you look at those articles, it touches on several things you brought up and what the overall plan is, what the devil is trying to do. Ohio is just in the crosshairs. Like I said, other states are next. If they can do it here, they're going to do it elsewhere. We need to defend the unborn. We need to defend the children. We need to defend parents. And we need to defend our rights as Christians. We need to defend our constitutional republic that God has allowed us to have all of these years. Cheryl, I want to thank you for bringing these things up tonight. I appreciate that.
Really interesting.
And I'm sure we'll be talking more in the future. And we're rapidly coming to the close of the program. I just want to encourage people. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, giving thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We need to pray for our country, pray for each other, and get involved. Do what you can. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live, visit our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs and read articles on a variety of topics by Al Davis at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, next Sunday morning at 11 a.m., next Sunday evening at 6 p.m., or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m., 6 p.m., and every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. And tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.